Welcome to Fabulous Fiction Fridays. We're so excited that you've joined us for this awesome little escape. Your host is Darlene Poyer, and she brings a real passion for reading to this show. This show is all about having fun, expanding your reading horizons, and bringing a little joy to your day. And now, your host, Darlene Poyer.
Welcome to our third episode of Fabulous Fiction Fridays. Today, we hear Hijinks, written and recorded by Catherine England and her family from Australia. You'll have to pay close attention this time because the Australian accent is something to get used to. One of the reasons I picked this story is because I like how Catherine makes us challenge perceptions. When we make assumptions about other people, it can really cost us. Catherine is a very talented and creative author who writes with a great down-to-earth style, and her words make it quite easy to imagine what exactly is happening. But we'll talk about challenging perceptions after. For now, let's have a listen to Catherine England and her story, Hijinks.
Can you get that, Madge?
Norm called when a loud knock at the door interrupted his painting. The studio was closer to the front of the house than the kitchen, but he was halfway through a delicate application of royal blue.
Yes, dear.
Madge called back, even as she was making scones and up to her elbows in flour. She brushed her hands over the sink like a weightlifter, dusting off chalk, then walked from the room into the hall.
All right,
she said. The knocking was becoming urgent.
Don't get your knickers in a knot.
Max Jinks waited in the locked screen door. He'd already tried the handle. Sometimes he just walked right in, flashing his fake ID at the surprised elderly occupants, telling them he was there to disconnect their phone and informing them that as defaulting customers, they'd have trouble getting reconnected. Unfortunately, some people kept records. If a receipt was produced, he'd apologize, mumble something about incompetent accounts departments, and make a hasty exit. But this latter scenario was rarely enacted. He planned his hits carefully, staking out houses in the street until he found one occupied by an aged couple. Sometimes he approached a single person, but as a general rule, two were better than one. Double the personal possessions, double the ready cash. From a distance, this pair looked to be in their 70s. He'd stolen a letter from their mailbox, so he knew their surname.
Mrs. Crump,
he inquired when the white-haired lady appeared behind the dark mesh like a ghostly apparition.
Yes, is something wrong?
The man's voice had a harsh quality, and his expression made her feel like a schoolgirl about to be reprimanded for not handing in her homework.
I'm afraid so, Mrs. Crump. I'm Maxwell Jinks from the Debt Recovery Office. I'd like to have a chat with you and Mr. Crump about your telephone bill.
He whipped out a laminated card, held it up to the screen for a second, then shoved it back in his pocket. Even though she had only glimpsed it, Madge thought the card had looked professional, and the man was well dressed in a smart brown jacket and grey trousers. She turned the key in the lock and opened the door.
But I'm certain I paid the last bill. I distinctly remember.
Max brushed past her. The phone company has no records of any payment being made in the last 3 months, Mrs. Crump.
But...
Max walked down the hall and turned into a living room. A sideways glance at the window told him there were no bars, and as far as he could tell, no security lock. If there was anything of value in the house, it might be worth another visit, an after-hours one. He couldn't see a telephone table, so he walked through to the adjoining kitchen, the next most likely place. Madge had hurried past him, wringing her hands.
Norm,
she called over her shoulder. When Max spotted the phone on a bench, he unplugged the cord from the floor and wrapped it neatly round the unit.
I'm sorry, but I'll have to take this with me.
Norm came out of the studio, wiping paint off his fingertips with a rag.
Anything the matter, love?
Oh, Norm, I'm so sorry.
Madge's flowery fingers fluttered against the chest like the delicate wings of a dusty white moth.
I must have forgotten to pay the bill. The telephone company's repossessing our phone.
Company property,
Max stated. He kept a frown plastered to his face. It was hard, though. He felt elated. On his way to the kitchen, he'd pass an antique painting in a gilded frame. He'd definitely be back to repossess that. Unfortunately, he couldn't see a computer or laptop anywhere, which meant this couple was the old-fashioned variety. They didn't even appear to have a TV.
But surely, We'd have got a notice or something,
Norm protested. Max took a notepad from his pocket and flicked through it. You were advised on the 2nd of this month that the account was 3 months overdue. You were further advised that unless payment was forthcoming, someone would be here to disconnect. He turned another page. On the 16th. Today's the 16th. He walked briskly from the kitchen with the phone tucked under his arm. Behind him, Madge and Norm questioned each other.
Did we get anything like that in the post?
Norm asked. Madge always brought in the mail.
You can be a bit forgetful at times.
I'm sure we didn't. You didn't take a call from the phone company, did you? You forget things too, you know.
Max had reached the hall when he stopped abruptly like a man on the edge of a pit. Turning around slowly, he walked back into the living room wearing a contemplative expression. A thought then appeared to bloom on his face like a cactus flower in a desert. Of course, if you pay the account right now, there won't be any need to disconnect the outside line, and I wouldn't have to take your phone. Relief washed over Madge, and words bubbled out of her like spring water.
Oh, thank goodness. We'll do that, won't we, Norm? We'll pay now. How much was it, Mr. Jinks?
Max checked his notes again. This was just too easy. Let me see. Yes, here it is. $500. Norm's mouth dropped open.
Are you sure that's right? We've never had a bill that high.
Of course it's right. This man is from the debt recovery office. He showed me his card. He should know how much we owe. Make him a cup of tea, will you, dear, while I go and get the money.
Norm watched his wife hurry past Max towards their bedroom.
Please make yourself comfortable, Mr. Jinks. I'll put the kettle on.
Black, no sugar, Max said. While Norm potted around the kitchen, Max sank into a sofa, crossed his legs and eyed the painting. He was getting to be a bit of an expert as far as antiques were concerned. He'd fenced quite a few lately. He chuckled to himself. He'd met quite a few, too. When Norm returned with tea and biscuits on a tray, Max raised his eyebrows. Tea brewed in a pot, he remarked. The china teapot was shaped like an elephant's head. Its knitted tea cosy had holes for ears.
What other way is there?
Norm inquired as he set the tray down on the coffee table. Well, I always make mine from a tea bag.
Oh, that's not proper tea.
Norm sat on a sofa opposite and poured the tea through the elephant's trunk into a cup with an intricate blue design, then handed the cup to Max on its matching saucer. A grandfather clock in a corner gonged the hour. Wondering whether he'd been caught in a time warp, Max tucked into a biscuit while his host chatted amiably. Max had nearly finished his tea by the time Madge reappeared. He wondered what had taken her so long. Her husband had driven him nuts, rabbiting on about his grandkids. Madge sat beside Norm with an apologetic look on her face and a $10 note in her hand.
I'm sorry, but this is all we've got in the house. Would it do as a deposit? Could you come back later for the rest? I can pop up to the bank. We don't have one of those cards people use at those, I can't think what they call them.
ATMs, Max suggested dryly. Receiving no response from Madge, he elaborated. Automatic teller machine.
Yes, those. Otherwise, we could have just gone to the local supermarket. They've got one there. I would have had to get you to drive me, though. I'd catch the bus to the shops. We don't have a car.
And of course you don't, Max wanted to say. Max chewed the inside of a cheek. He'd wasted half an hour for a measly $10. He didn't want to come back. In and out as quickly as possible. That was his style. He replaced his teacup roughly on its saucer and took the money.
Oh, do be careful, please. It's Wedgwood.
Madge placed a hand on Norm's arm and squeezed.
Isn't it, dear?
Norm flinched when Madge's neck squeeze was so hard a thumbnail dug into his skin.
Isn't it, dear?
Madge repeated. Her eyes pinned his and demanded an answer.
Oh, yes, of course. My goodness. Yes, indeedy. It certainly is Wedgwood. Very valuable.
Max rummaged around his mental attic for a way of making the most of this unexpected slice of information. You know, the phone company isn't just bricks and mortar, he informed Madge and Norm. Placing a palm flat against his chest, he willed some moisture into his eyes. It has a heart. The people I work for are aware that some customers simply don't have ready cash available to pay bills. For special cases, they accept goods in lieu. Matt looked at him blankly.
Goods in what?
Goods in lieu. An item or items to the value of the bill, Max explained.
Special cases?
Norm queried.
were like you two kind folks, for instance, making me so welcome with tea and bickies when I had such an unpleasant duty to perform. I'm just doing my job, you know. Imagine Norm nodded sympathetically. I'm well respected within the company, you know. If I make a recommendation, I can guarantee the accounts department will agree. I'm certain they'd accept, say, a set of Wedgwood in payment of this account. Madge touched the hand to her cheek.
They'd need the whole set.
Second-hand goods aren't worth as much as new items. But, Madge continued, raising a forefinger, pausing for dramatic effect. If the realised value of the goods exceeds the amount of the debt, you'll receive a cheque for the balance. Now I ask you, can we be fairer than that?
That does sound very reasonable,
Madge said. She looked at Norm.
Doesn't it, dear?
He nodded.
Very.
But most of the set is packed away somewhere, isn't it?
She pinned Norm with her eyes again. Returning her first ear made Norm's own eyes water.
I think it's in the shed.
Discerning her almost imperceptible nod, his gaze swung back to Max and he continued.
I'd have to go and look, but there's a lot of junk stored there and I don't suppose you could come back in an hour, Mr. Jinks. We'd be very grateful. We really do need our phone in case of emergencies.
Max ran his fingers through his head. I don't know. I'm a very busy man. Are you sure you don't have any more money in the house? A jar of coins, perhaps? The occupant of the last house he visited had handed over a jar of coins containing nearly $100.
I've looked in every drawer,
Madge told him. Jewelry?
I don't wear jewelry, and Norm only has a wristwatch.
Watches are a dime a dozen, Max pointed out. Norm pulled a handkerchief from his pocket and dabbed at his eyes.
I'm sure I'll be able to find the rest of the Wedgwood, Mr. Jinks, if you'll just give me some time.
Madge put an arm around his shoulders.
There, dear, don't get upset.
She turned, pleading eyes on Max. Well, you do seem such a lovely couple, Max said. He made them wait a little longer while he appeared to mull things over. Oh, all right. I suppose I could rearrange my schedule. I like to help out whenever I can. If you'll just rinse this cup and saucer, I'll take them with me now. He could have suggested taking the painting, but he took up half the wall and traipsing out the door with such a large item might draw attention from neighbours. Madge washed and dried the cup and saucer and placed them in newspaper and handed them to Max in a plastic bag. When he stood up to leave, she grabbed his free hand and pumped it vigorously.
You're such a nice man to do this for us.
Wouldn't be the first time, Max confided. Why, only last week, I put in a recommendation that a company accept the necklace to settle an account.
Really?
Madge and Norm chorused. It was obvious to Max that his concern for his customers had impressed Madge and Norm, knowing. And he basked in their admiration. Norm patted him on the back all the way to the front door.
It's not often we meet someone like you.
Must be your lucky day, eh? Max offered.
Indeed it is.
Madge cooed as she slipped her hand into Norm's. I'll see you in an hour then, Max said. He strode to the front gate, gave a cheery wave, then got in his car and drove off. An hour would give him plenty of time to visit the Pettigrews in the next block. Norm turned to Madge and clicked his tongue.
What took you so long in the bedroom?
Stupid mobile phone battery was dead. I tried recharging it, but it wouldn't let me connect. We really must be more careful to keep it fully charged.
Norm chuckled.
The Wedgwood thing was clever. Took me a second or two to cotton on that you wanted to make sure he came back.
They walked down the hall. Madge's shoulders shook uncontrollably.
In lieu of, that's a good one.
The phone company has a heart.
Norm guffawed.
That's acting talent. We'll be wasted in jail.
Madge retrieved the phone from the living room and plugged the cord back into its socket, then rang the police and told them Max Jinks will be back in an hour.
That'll be it then. Justice for poor Millie. She won't get her money back, but at least we helped catch the rat.
So you got what you wanted, eh, Madge?
Yes, I did.
Norm smiled.
That was fun. I can't wait for the next con artist to drop by our house.
I love how that story ends. It's great when people can turn assumptions to their advantage. Poor Max thought he'd really hit the jackpot with Madge and Norman could get away with a bundle. It just wasn't meant to be for him on that day. I found in the past that a well-written story can challenge people in a number of different ways. Whether it's challenging perceptions of senior citizens, as Catherine has done in our story today, or the story challenges the emotions of the reader. One story that I published in the most recent magazine issue of Ficta Fabula, it's called Flower Crusher, has created the most email I've ever received on a story published. It's one of those stories where people either love it or they hate it. Whatever it did, it generated a great deal of emotion and feedback. In our story today, Max was guilty of a preconceived idea about senior citizens. This kind of generalization doesn't occur just with seniors, though, but in all aspects of our world. So to give you some bit of background on that thought, I wanted you to know that I'm a recovering news junkie, and I've been a junkie for as long as I can remember. And what's interesting is that in all my 46 years, the news hasn't changed. Only the players have. From strife in the Middle East to conflicts in Africa, there have been natural disasters and horrific man-made crimes. There's always an economic crisis somewhere and one country trying to take over another country. There are new diseases and cures, and some animals have gone extinct while new ones have been found. It's the same news, just different people and countries. But at no time in my life have I ever said to myself, wow, I feel so much better knowing that Syria is being bombed. Or how about, wow, what a difference in my life it's made knowing that Greece, Portugal, and Spain and Ireland are having economic uncertainty. No, I've never said or thought any of these things, and I'm willing to bet most people haven't either. We tell ourselves that we want to be informed. We want to prepare and be aware. There's nothing wrong with that. But in today's world, we are inundated with information and news that's available to us 24/7. The challenge is that we read and watch what the news agencies want us to read and watch. They'll tell you that they only report the facts. The trouble is that sometimes facts are filtered out, and the ones they leave in sometimes have adjectives included, creating a perception of the story. For instance, many groups have pointed out the inconsistencies of news agencies' reporting of crimes. When all the police shootings of black people down in the U.S. was in the news, many news agencies were quick to put up pictures of the black victim that didn't put them in a favorable light. So the victim would have a baseball cap on backwards or making some sort of hip-hop or rap-like gesture. This gives us the impression that this person was probably up to no good anyway. A white victim of a crime quite often had a photo displayed that was far more favorable. It could be a grad photo or a professional photo. Whatever it was, it leaves us with the impression that this particular victim just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or, at the very least, they were noble in their life. News agencies have an agenda. They know that reporting negative and dramatic stories will create a greater following than positive stories will. They know and understand the human tendency to listen to a negative message rather than a positive one, and they take advantage of that so they can sell that result to potential advertisers. As a result, many of us walk around unhappy because there is a constant barrage of negative messages out there. In trying to get away from all the negative messages, many of us have hobbies that allow for a little escape. Some exercise, some do crafts, and even a few read a story. I'm sure you know which one I favor. And the great thing with a fictional story is that it's all the work of someone's imagination. A reader can learn and take what messages they want from a fiction-based story, or they can forget about it altogether. The great thing is that even with a fiction-based story, it can be either light or dark, and it still contains the same escape factor. There are so many different kinds of books out there that it can almost be overwhelming. At Pages of Stories, we try to create a balance of what we publish. We've published dark stories and fun stories and everything in between. Just like in Hijinks, many of the stories challenge perceptions and ideas. They can inspire the imagination and help exercise that creativity muscles. News reports, while important, want to control what and how we think, whereas a story allows you to interpret it however works best for you. Exercising that creativity muscle may mean that your thought process will expand and maybe challenge perceptions that people have of you that have never sat well. perhaps having access to a story, something within that story will resonate with you and get you thinking differently. My goal in publishing all different kinds of stories is getting people to enjoy reading again. My hope is that they'll find some kind of fun and escape, even for just a few minutes. Because if it isn't the news that brings you down, it can also be your job. Office jobs are notorious for creating a negative environment. And if you're not a fan of fiction, that's okay, because there's lots of really great books out there that are nonfiction. Books on history, biographies, personal growth, they're all available to help put other pieces of information in your head. Reading from a wide variety of books allows you to have a more unbiased viewpoint. You won't be as easy a target for the news agencies and what they report. It's interesting to note that many journalists go on to write books about the various stories that they've covered. In many cases, they do this because they were unable to tell the whole story when they first reported it. Both my husband, Gary, and I have started challenging the perceptions that surrounded us. We both grew up in an era that a typical and successful life path was to go to school, get a job, have a family, and retire. We did our best to accommodate this plan, but something always interfered, and we weren't happy. We were so busy following the life plan that we believed was expected of us, we never took the time to create our own dreams. Or if we did, it always seemed so far-fetched. And then a few years ago, we really started to read different books. Gary no longer concentrated solely on the sports articles and investment information, and I no longer just read fiction-based books. We both expanded our reading to include personal growth, and boy, did that ever make a difference. For me, the creativity of the fiction story puts the dream in my head, and the personal growth stories provide the path. We're both now dedicated to helping people lead a happier, more fulfilling life. Me, by hopefully finding the most talented and creative authors and sending their stories out in the world to be enjoyed by all. And Gary, by helping people create a retirement that's more meaningful and fulfilling for them. If you would like to know more about Gary and how he helps you create a retirement that's meaningful, you can check out the link on my website to get in touch with him. And if I could just read you a quote from Oprah Winfrey. In her book, What I Know for Sure, she talks about reading. As you know, she's got a great book club. But here's what she says. Everything I do all day, I do in preparation for my reading time. Give me a great novel or memoir, some tea, and a cozy spot to curl up in, and I'm in heaven. I love to live in another person's thoughts. I marvel at the bonds I feel with people who come alive on the page, regardless of how different their circumstances might be from mine. I not only feel I know these people, but I also recognize more of myself. Insight, information, knowledge, inspiration, power. All that and more can come through a good book. So we hope to inspire people to live beyond an ordinary life. We want to help people realize that they don't have to take the information that's presented to them at face value. They can challenge, they can investigate for themselves. So I hope you enjoyed today's story, and I thank you for joining us again. Next week, we'll hear from David Heaton as he reads a story called Touch Paper. And next week's show is doubly special because we'll also sit down and chat with this very talented author. I hope you'll join us for that special episode. And once again, thanks to Crossfield Library for allowing me to record here. Take care and happy reading.
Are you interested in appearing on Fabulous Fiction Fridays? Are you an author that wants to reach a wider audience? Are you a business owner that would like to reach dedicated listeners? Please feel free to contact Darlene at info@pagesofstories.com. Or visit www.pagesofstories.com and leave a message.